Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is the edition of The Gathering, a afterlife discussion. Our regular panel is here, Tom and Melissa Gould, Fran Ginsberg, and I'm Bob Ginsberg, and nice to have you with us. Tonight's topic is something that we've brushed on from here to there but never really explored in earnest, and that's all about souls. Do we have one soul? Do we have many souls? Do we have to come back? Do we not have to come back? Can our souls split? What does it all mean? We'll throw some stuff out, and we'll see what happens. If you have any thoughts on the matter, please call in at 888-815-9756. And before we get started, Fran, if you could get us up to date.
On all of our announcements out of the way, I just want to let everybody know that they should go online to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, sign up for the Visa credit card, start shopping. When they get the credit card, we get a $50 donation from Visa, and every time they shop, Visa makes another donation to us. So that's one way that they could support our work with their normal everyday shopping without sending us any more money. And if they go to Amazon.com and use that Visa card there, Amazon will do the same thing without them spending any more money than they would normally spend at Amazon. Amazon sends us a little bit. But again, you've got to go to the Amazon link from the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org website, or we will not get the credit. And I do want to thank everybody who's been doing that all along, because we hit a new record high this month, and I'm going to keep that top secret and hope that the following month we're going to outdo that. So everybody who's listening, you need stuff on Amazon, you need books, you need the books we're talking about, go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org, click on any link at all that goes to Amazon, and your entire shopping on Amazon will have a percentage donated back to us. Even if you're buying a baby carriage, whatever you're buying.
Can you buy a college education and pay for the 4 years on Amazon?
I don't know. We'll have to check that
all
out.
The textbooks.
Yeah, check that out. And in addition, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then go to iGive.com, designate Forever Family Foundation as your charity of choice, and anything you shop on via the iGive.com links will be donated to us as well. Our raffle has been drawn. The new raffle has begun, so go to ForeverFamilyFoundation.org and click on the Holidays Past raffle and win one of five medium readings. It's just $5 a chance. And that's a very important raffle for us because it helps us to pay our bills. And we appreciate you sending in checks. The directions are on the website. Our grief weekend is coming up real quick, May 20th. There are seats left if you want to be there. If you're not going to be there, then the people who are already signed up are going to be really happy because the groups will be even smaller. Mm-hmm. But we are breaking up into small little groups of about 10 people each, and there's going to be four different hands-on workshops of each 2 hours each over the 2 days, plus lots of other juicy things that we're going to be doing. So you want to be there. The food is great. The atmosphere is great. And like being with like-minded people is great. So that, I believe, is all I have to say. Unless you're a business and you're listening, then you want to advertise on this show. So give us a call in the office at 631-425-7707.
Speaking of business, tonight's sponsor is L&R Productions, and you can find them at lnrproductions.com. Okay. You know, we're going to get started in a little while. But before we do, this has been a pretty crazy week in terms of group consciousness. You know, we heard on Monday about Bin Laden being killed, and you know, the emotions were running, you know, so high, and there were so many different things that you were noticing that was going on, people were, like, for instance, I had a client in my office, and he said, we were talking, and he says, boy, you know, thank God that, and then he stops himself. He says, that doesn't really sound right. He says, thank goodness, you know, that, yeah. you know, blah, blah. So, you know, it raises a couple of issues. You know, one is, you know, was somehow the universe or God, you know, facilitate this thing? And number two, I don't know, the way I feel about it is of course, this is a man, if anybody deserved not to be on the earth, you know, he didn't deserve it with all the devastation that he caused. But now he's gone from the physical, he's in the spirit world. You know, if you want revenge, wouldn't you rather have him, like, wasting away in a prison somewhere, you know? But
True.
Yeah, but again, you're speaking from our physical standpoint of what we perceive to be reality, which is he did something bad. Let's punish him here. And some people think that the death penalty is good punishment. Somebody thinks that, you know, invading and shooting everybody is good punishment, and other people think, well, no, just let him rot in jail. But the reality is that once he's dead and he's on the other side, is he not in a better place?
A windowless cave. He can't find the door out. He's very lonely. He's probably frightened, as we've learned from Testimony of Light.
Right.
He can find his way out if he chooses to, but it's probably going to take a while.
All right, just to clarify, Melissa's speaking from the point of view of what Testimony of Light describes as what the other side is like for those people who have chosen dark energy while they were here.
Right. Well, Tom would be a good one to, as somebody with a legal background, you know, it brings up the topic of what we've been talking about all week is justice. Everybody's saying, well, justice is finally, you know, it's finally done. And then, you know, the physical justice is not quite the same as afterlife justice. So, I mean, do you think that there's justice in the afterlife? You know, is he being appropriately treated?
Well, I read Testimony of Light also, and that seemed like a pretty fair, I guess, assessment of what you would hope someone who of his caliber would face on the other side. And basically, it's not pleasant, and there are people there to try to help his soul back in onto the right path, if you will.
Yeah. You think it's self-judgment that's causing him the problem, or do you think you know, others are assisting in that?
I think I think others are assisting, because I think that he probably still doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Right, and I think both in Testimony of Light and the Unobstructed Universe, they talk about some sort of a healing area, hospital, or some place where people who have not advanced while they were here in the physical have not come here to learn about love and compassion and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't achieve that, and then they still cross over, they go to these, like, what we would describe as hospital.
Rehab.
Soul rehab.
That's right. Well,
this is all going to tie in with tonight's topic of souls and progressions on the other side. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to get right into that and learn. Melissa will tell us everything that we want to know about souls. Huh?
All right.
Okay.
Cool. What a good title for a book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Souls.
Stay with us, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. Thanks.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And we're back. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. And tonight's topic is souls, soul fragments. We have more than one soul and what comes back. I guess when we talk about souls, if you polled most people that believe in an afterlife, I think the majority of people that believe in an afterlife believe in reincarnation, although not everybody, but I think most people who do. And then if you look at some of the evidence, mostly through, you know, channel reports, through mediums, they seem to be divided. Some people say through mediums that there definitely is reincarnation, and some say there's not. But some people would say, well, there's a reason why some people don't, you know, believe in reincarnation, is that, you know, some people still, let's say they were very religious on the physical plane, and now they cross over. Well, they say that you still retain your personality. So if they were religious, so to speak, here, they're religious there. So if they didn't believe in reincarnation here, or they did, they would just follow through. So, you know, they don't all of a sudden immediately change their perspective, you know. So that's possible, you know, one explanation. But do you think, when we talk about souls, do you think that we each have, like, one soul, or do you think that we have many souls, or we're part of soul groups? Anybody want to jump in on that?
That's always been a tough one for me, the fragments and all, and the explanation that we're not just on this plane at this moment, but we're on many planes. I just have a tough time wrapping my mind around it. It's, you know, I don't know. I hate to say that I like to have things in little boxes, but it sure is easier for me to understand if I compartmentalize everything.
I think that's part of the physical reality, is that we've been taught in school, in elementary school, that everything has to be categorized and everything fits neatly into everything.
We make those diagrams.
So we grew up that way.
That's right.
So, of course, as adults, when we're finally reading the juicy stuff, it's hard to wrap your brain around.
It is.
It's just impossible.
I think that's very true. And why, when Bob mentioned before, if you're a religious person, that your take on the afterlife is the... You come up to a gate, and there'll be a St. Peter, whoever, will be there with the book and let you in, and you'll see.
Or not.
Or not, right? And then that's another place. So it's everything's very physically described. And I'd like to comment about what Bob said, that, well, if you're religious here and you cross over and you have your same personality, will you hold all those same beliefs? And my... thought on that is, well, when you get over there and you have what's the reality of what the other side is all about, it probably will contradict a lot of what you thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, when I think about it, I just think of it simplistically, you know. So let's say I didn't believe in an afterlife, and now I cross over, you know, and I realize that I'm dead. And I realize that I'm still alive, so it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just blows, you know, so I would think that my personality is going to change. I mean, it has to, because my whole world, the physical world, is now blowing apart, you know, and so you have to change. So when you say that you retain your own personality, I think to a certain extent in terms of, you know, memories, you know, but since you're in a different environment and a different dimension, I think that your personality has to change somewhat, you know.
I think the problem I have with, you know, being, if you're reincarnated and so you're living a life as someone or something else, but then a loved one sits down with a medium or, you know, does their own making the connection, and they're able to talk to that person. That person isn't saying, oh, yeah, I live in Omaha now, and, you know, you can come find me there. That life doesn't exist. And I have to believe that one can reincarnate. I mean, I don't have to believe it. I just choose to believe that
right.
One can reincarnate. But then how does that fit with my belief that they can also always communicate with their loved ones?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I think that, I mean, that's evidence. To me, some of the evidence points to reincarnation, besides the evidence from scientists like Ian Steven and so forth, children with past memory. Right. But let's say you have a deceased loved one, and you communicate, and then if that deceased loved one reincarnates and back into the physical plane, then people have a fear. They don't want that to happen because in their mind they're not going to be able to communicate with that loved one again, because now that loved one's back in the physical. But if you subscribe to the theory that we have multiple souls or soul fragments, one little facet of the soul, of our soul group, reincarnates, but there's still, you know, there could be, who knows, you know, there could be hundreds of other fragments of our soul that still retains memories, not only of us, but previous lives. It's a conglomeration of lives. So, you know, if I think of it that way, then I think, yeah, well, you know, then it makes sense. You know?
Well, give me a visual. Like, say it was an octopus, and the head of it is like the core main soul that's maybe connected to whatever is the highest, most divine place we are trying to achieve, but then all those, how many are there?
Eight.
Tentacles. So each tentacle, one's in Omaha, one's communicating with you, past, present, and future, too?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I was reading something about it. You've read about this silver birch who, you know, comes through certain mediums and wisdom, and he talks about, I was reading something, he writes, you know, Silver Birch explained that the individual personality on Earth is a small part of the individuality to which he or she belongs. He likened it to a diamond with many facets, so instead of an octopus, you know, it's a diamond with many facets, pointing out the personality on Earth is but one facet of the diamond. What you express on Earth is but an infinitesimal fraction of the individuality to which you belong. Thus, that are what you call group souls, a single unity with facets which have spiritual relationships that incarnate at different times, at different places, for the purpose of equipping the larger soul for its work. So we're actually...
Okay, yeah. And let me just add to that
right.
Each of those facets in the dimension in which it lives or it exists has a different set of rules than the physical rules we have here on Earth.
Right.
So it's immense. It's just immense how many different places there are that your soul can be or is simultaneously.
Right. And then, you know, there's also a theory that we attract people that are in our own soul group. So the four of us sitting here around this table, we could be all part of the same group. And not only presently, but in many different incarnations, you know, over, you know, it's mind-blowing when we think about it, but maybe that's why we were attracted to each other and, you know, we're doing this now. And you could have been sitting here with somebody else. I could have been married to somebody else. You guys, you know, it's, you know, why do we seem to, you know, we it's common practice. We always say things like, oh, I was just attracted to it. I don't know why, or, you know, something about that person. And, you know, what is it? Well, maybe there really is. Maybe we're seeing ourselves, you know, through this soul group when we say something's attracted. So.
Right, and maybe this whole synchronicity stuff is really what the universe is about. And when something is not synchronistic, that's the anomaly.
Yeah, that's a good look at it.
Yeah, in fact, what you just threw out there is, again, reiterated in Testimony of Light. They do mention about how doctors on the physical world, their spirits will get together on the other side, and you know, there will be a grouping of the spirit of doctors who will also try to help out.
Yeah, you know, F.W. Myers, who's like a kingpin of the psychical research, you know, back in the late 1800s, 1900, and he continued experiments. He set them up while he was alive and continued to communicate, you know, once he passed. And he communicated that from his perspective of, you know, in this other world, that we're part of a group soul. And he says a group soul might contain 20 souls, 100 souls, or 1,000. The number varies. It's different for each person. So, again, there doesn't seem to be any clear consensus, but for those that talk about group souls, they all say the same thing, that there are just many, many, many fragments, you know, to the soul. And that's what you were talking about from Testimony. Well, it was also Seth's books.
Yeah, yeah. Seth goes into that whole idea of the tentacles,
right.
And the...
he calls them personalities.
Personalities. Yeah, he didn't like soul. He didn't like to use the word soul. He liked
but he says in no uncertain terms, there is an afterlife.
Yes.
Yes, there is. But he goes on to explain all these other things, and using your words again, it's almost impossible to wrap your brain around it with the educations that we've all had.
Right. In fact, he mentions that also. He
yeah.
says, I'm going to try to explain to you, but if I explain to you exactly the way it is, you would not be able to comprehend it.
Right, and his analogies are fabulous, you know, to make you understand what he's trying to make you understand.
So when we talk about karma, we generally think about karma in the sense of we did something good or bad in this lifetime. You know, but the karma could mean that we did something from a previous life, or not only, when I say a previous life of anybody in our soul group. You know, let's say I'm part of your soul group, and you did something that I'm
you're benefiting from?
Paying the price for, you know, from a three lifetimes ago, you know. So I guess we're all acting as a team, you know, if that's the case, not only here, but, you know, in all these different dimensions. Then there's also the, you know, a lot of people say, well, what do I have to reincarnate? You know, what's up with that? I mean, does everybody reincarnate? And who knows? But, you know, my sense of it is that if we believe that all this stuff, you know, we have this self-judgment on the other side and we're made to see the good and the bad that we've done, then I think we must also be given the choice of whether or not we want to stay or or
I've heard that, that you can, you see, you have that life review, and then you have the choice. You have to work on those areas that, you know, you didn't live up to your full potential or do your the best you could do, and so you can either work on it on the other side and maybe help souls like Osama bin Laden, wherever he is, or come back in this life and have another crack at it.
Yeah.
If you can improve.
Isn't that the hardest concept, though, to think of, you know, that, you know, I had to learn this particular aspect that I was missing, and I, and we, me and my guides determined that I need to come back, you know, as a physically handicapped or mentally challenged poor person, missing limbs, living someplace in a third world country. You know,
you're oversimplifying it. You're oversimplifying it again.
I'm just saying why it's
like
so...
as you've just described. Because it's not, I need to be a paraplegic, I need to experience being a paraplegic. And you need to learn about compassion and love and making the world a better place. That's what it's all about. It's about creation. The ultimate energy created our individual consciousnesses. And those consciousnesses are now given the opportunity to be creative too. But we have to learn how to be creative the same way the intention was of the original creator for something positive. And in this physical world, you can see all of the negative stuff surrounding us. So we have to come into this world and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Let's fix it, let's fix it, let's fix it, and leave the world a better place.
Right.
And that's the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, intellectually, I certainly understand that, you know, and then the physical body means nothing. You know, we talk about it in physical terms. You know, I'm just saying, it's a, that's, I think the concept is so hard to wrap your head around for people here in the physical. You know, why would I do that? You know, I'm a good person, but I'm not going to do that. You know?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Donald Trump gives a flying hoot about consciousness and spirituality and being nice to people?
I'm not going to make any judgments about the Donald.
Oh. The fact that we four are sitting here right now, maybe this is us back again working on something we missed the first time around.
Yeah, and I'm, I know Fran has mentioned this in the past, and I'm going to bring it up again. I'm a little reluctant to just say that we're here for work. I have a theory that this is a vacation for some of us, and we come back here to... You know, like you would get on a roller coaster to feel the rush of the roller coaster, you get into a physical form to feel the sensual pleasure of being in physical form. And I also agree that it's ultimately we're talking about energy. It's not the physical body that is eternal. It's the energy that drives that body. And yes, I think ultimately your goal is to make that energy as positive as possible. I go back to physics. I one of the things that drew me to the Forever Family Foundation is the science of it. And you know, particularly nowadays, we have a physicist who's the president, or I'm not sure what title it is exactly, but
President Claude.
Yeah,
Claude Swanson. Yeah,
and you know, and physics is all about energy, and that it cannot be created or destroyed, and one of the laws of physics: for every action, there's an equal and an opposite reaction, which is, you know, basically karma. And there are scientific terms for what we spiritualists bandy about all the time, And then one of the characters of energy is the magnetic field, where you've got your positive energy on one end and you've got your negative on the other end. And I think that the more towards the positive end you can be, the better things are. And that's the job, if you will, or the coming back, is to try to hone in on your positive energy. And I guess something about on this plane... you know, maybe because it's easy for, like you say, somebody like Donald Trump or you know, the Wall Street guys, or right now the Exxon. You go to the pump and you're paying over $4 for a gallon of gas, when a week ago they announced they made 63% profit last year over the record profits they've made for the last few years.
$11 billion for the quarter. So.
And you know, and then there, and the government is still paying them subsidies. $5 billion being paid to them on top of their profits. And why? What's the justification? Well, because they're the job creators. Well, in that same report, you know how many jobs they created on that 63% profit? Zero. You know,
there's a man who filled up his car today. I mean, I could hear it.
You know, and it's a real hardship for millions and millions of people while they line their pockets. And they think they're getting away with it.
Yeah.
And I think that they're just harboring and creating negative energy, and boy, will they be surprised.
Yeah. Well, don't you think, you know, when we're in, when we become this entity of thought as opposed to body, you know, how silly it's going to seem to us. You know, we don't have any pockets in the afterlife, so there's no place to keep anything.
Yeah. Right.
And so everything that we were so attached to here and driven for means nothing. So if you don't, and then it follows, if you don't have any physical attachments, what do you have? Well, I guess you have emotions, you know, and it seems like the strongest emotion is compassion and love, as Tom was talking about. So now you have a whole, if you want to call it society, that's built around accumulating compassion and love as opposed to, you know, deep pockets. So it's just a different way of thinking, you know, of things. But ultimately, what do you think? I mean, I understand that there may be different spheres. People talk about, they use it interchangeably, dimensions or spheres, and they talk about souls advancing, you know, from being close to the physical plane. But what's the ultimate? Do you think that you reach a certain point that you're considered to be so-called enlightened, and that there's no more communication, you know, back with the lower spheres, and what happens then? Do you then, like in the Buddhist kind of philosophy, do you then merge? Do you then lose your personality and just merge into the greater conscious universe? You know, any thoughts on that?
Well, I remember a reading that a medium had done for my mom. And there was a problem she was dealing with in her life. And the medium brought my dad through, who recognized and acknowledged this problem and said that he was on the other side trying to help. In fact, the medium said, I see him wringing his hands. He's wringing his hands. And he said that... you know, the message came through. He's appealing to a higher power to try to resolve this problem.
Right.
And so that speaks to the fact, you know, and again, a lot of people think that, well, once you die, you go and you sit in the glory and you've got all the power, but
right.
It's just another level that you're going to.
Right.
And so, and there are further levels to go, which
right.
I guess supports the Buddhist feeling. And yeah, do you eventually, once you go up the ladder, you lose yourself and then just be part of the higher energy? I'm not sure.
Well, one theory is that it's harder and harder if you're going to believe in this advancement to communicate with the dense, you know, planes, and that's why some people after a certain amount of time maybe don't get as much communication from deceased loved ones. Maybe they're in these different spheres where they could communicate, but it's a lot harder to pierce all these different, you know, dense levels.
You're giving the person or the soul the singularity again.
Yeah.
If the soul is multifaceted, like the diamond,
right.
The consciousness of that combined soul, even though it's in many different places, the fragments of that soul are in many different places as the many different facets of the diamond, its combined consciousness is part of an enlightened consciousness. And the more compassion and love you learn, the more enlightened your consciousness is, and the more it is a part of the greater consciousness of love and compassion. So I know it's really hard to do this, but if you can visualize this let's call it just a big cloud of smoke, a white, beautiful smoke that is the universal consciousness. And we all have white, beautiful smoke within us. And the more that white, beautiful smoke becomes more and more enlightened, the more it gets to the more beautiful, more white smoke. And each facet of our diamond, of our soul, each fragment of our soul can still be in a different world at a different time doing something different. And I use the word time lightly because apparently here is the only place where we do have time and space. It's the collective consciousness of all those different fragments that give us our unity with the greater conscience.
I'll buy that.
Okay.
we're going to go to a break, and we come back. I'd like to ask you about why we always talk in terms of Earth with souls returning. Why are they always returning to Earth? That bothers me. I want to talk about that a little bit. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. And we're talking about souls and realms of existence where compassion and love are your currency.
Mm.
So today...
fill up your bags.
did you want to take a call?
Yes, we have Stella on line two.
Okay. Hello, Stella, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Right here.
Oh, thanks for calling.
I just had a comment and sort of a question. I wanted your take on it. My husband passed away 18 months ago.
Sorry.
Sober, and I've had several readings with him. I'm just amazed, like you said, his personality is the same, you know, from the beginning, you know, the first reading I ever had, you know, I knew, and he's very communicative, so I got a lot of information from him. This last time, it always seems like he even said through the medium that he would like to be here with me. He misses me and he wants to be here with me. He wants to take me on the motorcycle like we used to ride on the motorcycle. And I always thought when you're over there, everything's beautiful, but it seems like he's still missing me and wishing he was here.
So, well, of course he still misses you, and he still has a tremendous attachment to you, but... I would, that makes sense to me. You know, I think that it also takes a while from everything that I've read. You know, there's a period of adjustment, you know, where you're a little bit more attached to the physical plane. But I think, you know, maybe, you know, mediums don't always, say what they're hearing verbatim, you know. So I guess he was trying to get across... And he always tries to get across the message that he still loves you and misses
right,
you
right.
and wants to be with you.
Right,
but
right.
I wouldn't necessarily think that means that he doesn't like it where he is. You know,
I'm hoping he would like it where he is because I've heard it's so beautiful over there.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so.
Well, and he'd like to be with you. I guess he didn't want to scare you and say, "I want you with me here."
Right.
But I'll tell you a little. My mother passed away in October, and she knew she was terminal. And for her birthday, which was in September, we had a reading for her, and the medium brought through my dad, and my dad said that he was practicing his dance steps, and that he was going to throw a huge party when she got there, and that they were going to be together again, and they were going to have fun. And that's several different readings I've had from my dad that he says, first of all, he says everything goes at the speed of a jet liner. It's very fast, and everything happens all at once. But he says it is beautiful, and he says it's incredibly fun. So. And we're all going to be joining them soon enough when you think about
it. And I think that's wonderful, and that was my conception originally, but then when you started talking about the breakup of the soul in different places, then that confused me that they could be there, but they could also be here in another body in a new life. That confused me.
Yeah, that's the topic of tonight. We're trying, again, it's very difficult to comprehend that, and we're trying to make some kind of sense out of it, and we're having as much trouble with it as you are.
Okay, good.
So I don't want to complicate it more, but there's a theory in physics that you right now could be in several different places at once as well. You know, so we live in a multidimensional universe. So it's. I guess we won't. I was going to say we'll find out the answers soon enough, but even then, we might not find out all of them. So,
okay.
But I'm so glad that your husband was able to make contact with you, and that's a blessing because not a lot of people, not everybody can say that, certainly. So,
well, what's interesting, my father passed away many years ago, 15, 20 years. He always comes through, but he's not very talkative. But my husband... Talks and talks and talks.
Well, thanks for calling.
And I know it's him by what he's saying. I know exactly that it's him.
Yeah,
his personality.
He asked me for things, you know. Could I do this? Could I put his ornament on the Christmas tree? How come I didn't put up a Christmas tree last year? Could I put one up this year and put his ornament on it? You know, little things like that.
That's all cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff. You know, it's really cool.
his way of letting you know that he is still with you, and you will meet up again.
And he's watching me.
Yep.
Yes. And giving you directives.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, he used to do that when he was alive. He's still doing it.
You better stay on your toes, Stella.
I know.
Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk
to you.
Thank you. Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was interesting. You see how it is so difficult to wrap your head around the concept of being in more than one place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And yet, while she was saying that, I'm saying, now here's this faceted diamond that can be in so many different places that supposedly isn't so many different places, but it's not with her husband. That's the one place it's not.
Mm.
Okay.
Wait, why is it not?
Hasn't gotten to that plane yet. It hasn't gotten to that dimension yet. Maybe that dimension where her husband is only associated with this physical dimension.
Well, let's look at it this way, that they are together in a facet. Like your whole body is your full soul.
Right.
And it's your pinky that's walking around on the earth. And because they're not together physically, this pinky's hurting, you know. It's got an owie, you know.
Okay.
So you come back as a soul, and you say, it's okay, you'll be okay, I'm still here.
All right, so then let me propose this to you, Tom, that she is with her husband, but because of the confines of the physical world, she can only enjoy him when she's sleeping.
Right.
When the physicalness leaves, and she can go off into sleep, and now her conscience is free. It's not confined by the physical reality, and that's when they are together, which will explain all of our dream visits.
Yes, I agree with that. And the one point caveat I'd say is that it's not the only time. I think when you have a reading, and as she said, he comes through, and it's clearly him because it's his personality.
But it's the medium's consciousness that's making the connection.
Right, but the connection is there, and you walk away from one of those readings with a good feeling. You know, that's a real feeling that you have.
Yeah, and I know we're all involved in the medium certification program, so, and deferring to Bob, then, the fact that she's present at that reading, maybe it's a combined consciousness. Her, the medium, and her husband, the consciousness combines, and that's what allows this communication to go on.
Oh, I wish we knew the answer to that, you know. But
I propose that.
Yeah.
But it's certainly, I always looked at it that way, you know, that it's a combination of all the energies together, you know, that, you know, maybe the medium isn't necessary in that, or maybe the medium is everything in that situation. You just don't know. Maybe I always thought of it as matches and resonance or frequency. So, you know, do all three people have to match? Do only one person have to match? You know, who knows the real answer to this? But certainly the evidence seems to be that it's some sort of an entanglement and of which we don't know the true nature of, you know. But what I was talking about a little bit before we, to the break, is it always bothered me why we constantly only think of the afterlife and reincarnation in terms of Earth. You know, if we think of, you know, whether we believe the random universe, you know, that was created by a Big Bang, or whether we believe in a purposeful universe that was by design, you know, the fact of the matter is there are billions and billions and billions of stars and planets and galaxies, and it doesn't make sense to me under either explanation what purpose they serve. They have to serve some purpose, you know. I mean, they couldn't just, you know, happen like that. So when we reincarnate then, maybe we pick a different place in the universe. I mean, wouldn't that seem plausible? You know, why is it only Earth? Let's put it this way. If tomorrow there was a nuclear disaster and we all got wiped out, or any other type of, you know, a meteor hits us or whatever scenario you want to paint, is that the end of the afterlife? I mean, does that mean the gates of the afterlife are shut and there's no more, everybody that's there is there and there's no more entry because there's no more people on Earth? You know, that is it me or I'm sick? These things bother me.
Well, I do, you know, as an old Star Trek fan, you know there are other planets where you could go.
Yeah, I think so. You know, maybe it's sort of like Fran was saying, you know, we say we lost somebody, it's only, you know, just because we don't perceive them. I mean, they're still part of us, but we have this veil, a barrier. And maybe that's the same thing with these other, you know, planets. I mean, we're separated from them because we can't see them physically, or even our telescopes may not be able to, but they're there, and who knows, parts of our soul group could be residing, you know, in the other end of the universe,
yeah.
You know? So certainly, I mean, it's something that we never, I've always shied away talking about UFOs because it's such a, you know, difficult, you know, concept. But in terms of the afterlife, that's, you know, I was referring to, you know, so I think we make a mistake. You know, I like to use the term Earth-centric. I think we're Earth-centric. You know, we always think in terms of the where, I mean, even if you go back and those that believe, you know, in the Bible, all the Bible, everything centers around you know, around the Earth. Did you had a passage, Fran, that about?
I
mean, it also had to do with the you know, the different facets, but.
I've got it.
Yeah.
About consciousness and matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a direct and instantaneous reaction between consciousness and matter. An outburst of electromagnetic power strong enough to seed a universe. Your universe is but one of many, and you perceive but a small portion of it.
Okay, that's really what we were just saying.
Well, that's from the Seth material when he is talking about the planetary system. There's a whole report here, verbatim, of what he said about the planetary system. And he says that our solar system is not the only one, and that there was one just like it someplace else. So, and again, we created it. It was a creation of thought. We know this. It's all about thoughts, and our thoughts are our creative engines.
Right.
And that's why this world has so many terrible things going on, is because we don't know that our thoughts are what's creating it.
Right.
So we don't know to mind our thoughts.
So, you know, going back to that soul group, if we all part of one soul, I mean, let's say the four of us here are part of, you know, one soul group, then we could collectively determine which part of our soul group needs to reincarnate or wants to reincarnate, right? So, I mean, you know, let's say it's Fran and Melissa and Tom, mm-hmm. and me, and we collectively are part of the same group, and we decide it's Tom that needs to go back.
Yeah. It's an intervention. A soul intervention.
We didn't say come back as what, you know, it could be, you know, as the King of England, or...
You don't want me to read the instant message that
Oh, no?
We have some inside jokes going on here.
It's just a planetary comment.
Oh, okay. Something about me being an alien?
No.
One of the outer planets, no doubt.
Yes, one of the outer planets.
Well, let me share who's having thoughts.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Might have something to do with the planet Uranus?
Yeah.
I guess that.
Oh, well, it's still beyond. I'll have to wrap my mind around this tonight as I think about it.
Well, okay. So I hate to put it like this, but if I put a gun to your head and I say, Melissa, do you believe in reincarnation or not? You have to give me an answer.
Yes.
Say yes.
Thumbs up.
Tom?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
I didn't ask you if you thought it was tied. I said, do you believe in it? You're on the fence.
Well,
he sounds
belief's good. A strong word. I'm still, I'm looking for the evidence.
Okay.
I'm with Seth on the reincarnation. But it's a structure of this physical world.
I'm sort of on the line with Tom. You know, I believe in it, but that doesn't mean I know it. You know, there's a difference because, you know, I, the evidence seems to point to it. I mean, there's a lot of compelling stuff with Jim Tucker now and Ian Stevenson and you know, how do kids... how do they do these investigations where the kids talk of all these specific details of places and families they've never seen or places they've never been, and then they go there and they do the investigation, and sure enough, they have an uncle, blah, 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 and an aunt, blah, 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 and they have a scar, you know, and the thing, you know, it's a little eerie. So that kind of stuff, you know, sort of leans me, but am I absolutely convinced? No, I don't know. We'll have to keep exploring. You know, there are some people that absolutely believe and know in their heart that that's the way it is, and some that vehemently. But as we were talking about before, even the people that are on the other side, if you believe all these messages that get through, they're not sure, you know, when they're there, whether or not. And maybe that information has to come from, as in your dad's medium reading, you know, that from this help from, always help from above. You know,
more enlightened source.
Yeah, there's always, maybe we're always moving to the light, you know, moving towards more enlightenment. So, well, it almost brings us to the close of another show, and I hope you'll join us next week. I wish I could tell you who the guest was, but I lose track.
I won't lose track. I'll tell you in a half a second.
All right.
I filter you through these papers. Next week, what is the date? And how come it's not on here? Well, we do
12th.
Know that May 12th, the 12th.
All right. Well, check the website. Maureen Seberg, that's fascinating. She wrote a book about synesthesia, the mergers of senses, and there's something very spiritual about that.
The mergers of
senses.
Tasting
the universe is the book.
Of which Billy Joel is a synesthete.
So it's exciting. So,
and our topic, next June 2nd is developing your own mediumship skills.
All right.
So, and with that, really quickly, may the universe create a channel of healing energy for more participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Chuck Rocket, Vicki Steffi, Janet Mayer, Judith Lachman, Wendy Lippo, and all the people affected by the tsunami in Japan.
And remember that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.